true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Snap, snap, snap. Oh, snap, snap. That is a deep cut. That is a reference to a single episode of a television program. And if you can tell me what show that's from, this is coming off the dome here. We'd like to have you on as a short segment guest on All the Answers podcast. If you know what show that's from and you're not Desmond or Cassidy, please email us at allanswerspod@gmail.com. I think that's our email. And we will have you on and do a thing for you on air in front of all the people. Hello, it's Katie Rubin by her damn self. There's no Cassidy here. There's no Desmond. It's me and the Squaz. All by ourselves. How flat was that? Yeah, you guys, listen, it's post-COVID-ish, kind of. I know that it's still out there lurking, but the world is in a different space. And so folks are getting creatively engaged and we're getting activated back into our lives, all three of us, I would say. And yeah, so Cassidy had a busy week. So we decided that I would create a special episode just for you guys. What I'm going to do is, and I'm, by the way, I'm just honored to be here with you guys. It's so special to me that we have our wonderful, loyal, intimate following. We love you guys. You make this thing worth doing. Like this, you know, we're performers and speakers and teachers, and doing all those things without people listening is kind of empty and meaningless. So yeah, you guys matter a lot. So I'm happy to be here and happy to do this with you, for you, at you, in your general direction. In a second, I'm going to open your Akashic records, the records of the group of people hearing this, whatever that might be. And do a little download, little energy work, little whatever information I get psychically for you. Then I have this, I'm going to pull 2 3 card spreads for you guys. I'm going to pull one from my favorite deck, the Enchanted Map Oracle cards by the fabulous Colette Baron Reed. And I'm going to pull a second spread from the Akashic Tarot Guidebook by Sharon Ann Klingler and Sandra Ann Taylor. They both have Ann as their middle names. I wonder if they were like, one of them was like, I need a partner, but only if her middle name is Anne. So, yes, good things happening all around. I have so many announcements I want to share with the group. I'm sort of torn about it, but I'm doing so much stuff. And I think here's what's relevant in terms of like topics on the podcast, like the spiritual depth divey aspect of some of the really fun things happening in my little reality recently is the following. I want to talk about time and place in a person's life. And what is the relevance of time and place? I, as a person who, like my personal trauma as a kid, you know, and growing up as a human mammal in this reality we all attempt to survive and thrive in, had me becoming incredibly independent and self-reliant. That was my defensive strategy. That's my default go-to, you know, energy that when I'm less conscious, I fall into like, I got this, I could do it myself. I don't need help. Thank you very much. As I've done all this healing work and all the light work and stuff over all the years and continue to all the time, my heart has softened and opened. And I have these abilities to work with the psychic realms and the healing stuff, all because of the energy work to my heart and all because of the transmutation of my trauma that the light provides, right? Which I talk about all the time. My point being, as as my heart has softened over these years, I've come to understand and practice fallibly, messily, imperfectly, the subtle and important, necessary art of having needs and speaking them to the people I'm close to in my life, sharing my true vulnerable pain, fear, fatigue, sickness, worry, self-doubt, insecurities, all of that stuff that an Enneagram type 8 like myself is so inclined toward hiding. All the things that I don't want, my ego doesn't want people to know that I have or that I embody or that I carry. The Enneagram type 8 ego structure is, I got this, I'm in control, I'm going to challenge you, I'm going to be strong, I'm going to defend myself, I value respect above all else, you better respect me or you step off, you know, that kind of energy. But they talk about, and that's the defended egoic expression of the Enneagram type 8, which I could totally fall into and go to regularly. It's just, it's always going to be there. It's going to be a part of my persona for the rest of this incarnation anyway. So, but the journey of the eight is from what they say, from vengeance to innocence. So the eight's defensive, like unconscious reaction to things is, oh, you fuck with me? Watch out. I'm going to fuck with you harder. You know, and that is a protection mechanism, like all defenses are, and it's protecting some kind of vulnerability way deep down in my heart, right? So the more work I do on my heart and myself and become more in touch with those vulnerabilities, it becomes easier to be someone who just says like, wow, that hurt when you said that, or I'm scared, or I feel sad. Why would you say that to me? Instead of, which is an innocent response, vengeance to innocence. Over all the years of working on oneself, there's a journey from one thing to another. And yeah, that innocence practice, it's a practice for me in my life. I live into it to the best of my ability. And I just watch myself flow in and out of like, I'm going to, like, I'll have my initial reaction to stuff is like, fuck that guy. I'm going to fucking show you. Oh, you want to go? I'm not afraid of you, you know. And then I have to do my fourth step work and get back to like, hold on, what do I believe is happening here? What am I afraid is occurring? What part of me is feeling scared and vulnerable and afraid? So, and can I get in touch with that part, take care of that part of myself, and then speak whatever needs I might have from that part to and with only people that are safe? This is something I talk a lot about in my classes with my students and clients and stuff, is that as we develop our vulnerability going forward, we all become more and more authentic on the journey, whatever your version of that is, right? You might be an Enneagram 2. You might be a 3, you might be a 9, you could be any number of types of person. We're all moving from one energy to another. And as we do, just because we become more adept at being vulnerable, speaking our truth, having an open heart, that doesn't mean that everybody in the world is someone that it's safe and healthy and wise to share that vulnerability with. In fact, one of the things that develops, I've found as well over time, is the ability to discern who is actually somebody who can hear this and receive it well. Who is somebody that is not emotionally mature enough to receive this correctly or to handle my heart with care? I remember back in the Sufi school, they used to say, think of it this way. The whole spiritual path can be summarized in one sentence. Don't harm people's hearts. How do you know how to not harm people's hearts? You got to be in touch with what would harm my heart. What would make my heart feel bad? And, you know, I can tell you for myself, like, I've had just, I mean, really, truly, it's a profound way to live if you just do your best to one moment at a time, do nothing that can harm someone else's heart. It's a, that right there, if we all just practice that, that will take you from the egoic expression of your Enneagram type into the healed, healthy, integrated expression of your Enneagram type. That being said, I'm overstating it a little bit because, like, let's say you're a 2 or a 9. Sometimes the work of the 2 and the 9 is to be a little more boundaried, strong, clear. And 2s and 9s can oftentimes, and so can 8s, everybody can feel like when I'm boundaried, strong, and clear with people, that's being mean and hurting people's hearts. That is not being mean and hurting people's hearts. And that's an important distinction a lot of us have to learn on the healing journey, is that having strength and clarity and boundaries is not mean. You know, it makes me think of the Al-Anon saying, say what you mean, but don't say it mean. Say what you mean, like don't pussyfoot around it. Don't pretend you want a thing that you don't want, or you don't want a thing you do want, or you don't have needs when you have needs, or you have needs when you don't. Say what you mean, but don't say it mean. And so it's like I had a student ask me recently, what was that? What were we talking about? How do I let this client who's not really paying me appropriately, like showing up not paying for stuff, classes and coaching things that this student is giving, you know, to her clients. What I want to tell her, she said, was like, you kind of can't come back to class until you pay me for everything you owe me and for the coming class also. But she kept saying, like, I know her life circumstances and I know how hard that is for her. And I feel like I can't ask her for the money. And my perspective is, you've got to take care of yourself and honor that person at the same time. You get to say what you mean, but don't say it mean. So she gets to say something along the lines of, I so understand the situation you're in. I respect it and I empathize with it. It's hard for me to ask to get my needs met when I know how hard your current situation is. And we have needs over here on our end as well. So here's what I need. I need you to pay what you owe, and you can feel free to do that over time with some kind of payment plan, and then pay ahead of time for the next class you're going to take with me. As you're able to do that, and we can do a payment plan, that's a very kind, generous thing she could offer this client. As you're able to do that, and that gets paid off, and you're able to pay ahead of time for the next class, then we'll get you into the next class. All the while, I will love you, have no judgment of you, support you, and very much understand the difficult situation you're in. And I run a business, so I have to eat too. My kids have to eat. I have to pay for my bills. The house doesn't pay for itself. So I can't have you here now if you can't pay what you back owe me, but I'm not mad at you about it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it for myself. Then whatever anger or sadness or regret or guilt that the teacher, my student, might have about that interaction with that client, that becomes her work to do. That's her work to do. And then the client, however they're triggered by that interaction, that's the client's work to do. And hopefully each of the people, the teacher and the client, have people they can do their work with. The teacher comes to my healing class and does her work with me. Hopefully the student has someone in her family or friends she can do her work with. Which of course brings up the question, what do you do with people who like really want to do their work but just can't pay for it? I'll tell you the best way I know how to answer that question, how did I get on this tangent? I have no idea, but we're going to find our way back. The thing is, for me, I was in many situations in my 20s and early 30s where I was in real need of a lot of help and a lot of work. Like I really wasn't doing well internally at all. And when people would hold their boundaries with me and say, hey, you know, the class costs what it costs. So when you're ready, come. And I'd say, but can I have a discount? I'm a poor, broke, injured trauma survivor. And they go, yes, so the class costs what it costs and come when you're ready. And they would hold their boundaries with me. I would either figure out a way to fucking pay for it, or I would give up on the idea of going. And if I gave up on the idea of going, I clearly didn't want it that badly. But 9 times out of 10, when someone would hold their boundaries with me, I would figure out a way to make it freaking happen. And in the figuring out of a way to make it happen, I grew stronger. Then I got to go to these trainings and these schools and these healing institutions and like heal my inner reality. But that's the journey of a lifetime, is we're working on our outer reality, like making money, having a life we want, partners, friendships, pets, whatever it might be in your case, the art career, the finance career, the whatever. And at the same time, we have these inner realities that need tending to. So we are developing our spiritual lives, we're healing our trauma, we're integrating, we're becoming whole, we're finding peace, we're finding our voice, we're finding our strength, whatever it may be. And so it's not one without the other. My point being, when people are strong with you and hold a boundary with you, they are doing you the biggest favor anyone could do. And you, when you are strong with others, you are doing that person a favor, even if in the short term they don't feel like it or you don't feel like it. Yes, it's uncomfortable to have somebody say no, but the growth that is sort of hoisted upon us or forced into our reality because of someone else's boundary is so incredibly empowering for the person who receives it. Because again, it forces us to figure out a way to get our needs met. And that is life. Life is, can you figure out a way to get your needs met? Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and otherwise, can you figure out a way? So I don't know, all of this sort of makes me feel like what we're talking about here is the balance between empowerment and surrender. Like, what, you know, and this is a thing that comes up a lot in spiritual healing classes and contexts and teachings. What is the relationship between surrender, letting go, letting it flow, not pushing, not trying, and like having an empowered relationship to reality where you're not a doormat, right? How do we do surrender blended with empowerment? And this brings me back to what I started talking about today, which is time and place, time and place. So what I started talking about before that brought me to time and place was, you know, Cassidy's not here today because he's empowered and living his creative best life. He had a bunch of appointments and we couldn't make it work and he's doing all kinds of fun stuff. Meanwhile, over here, I am doing professional improv a lot, like 6 shows a week sometimes, four shows, two shows, three shows. It depends on the week. I'm producing two stand-up comedy shows next month, and so I'm getting comics together. I'm setting up a storytelling series with a theater company here in town. I'm going to be teaching some acting classes, and I'm also starting to pick two plays I'm going to direct come the spring and or summer. And announcement time. So proud of myself. So excited about this. I booked a role in a play. I get to be in a musical and sing a big show-stopping song. So I'm really excited about that, given that I haven't done a show in 3 years, I guess, maybe more than 3 years. And so it's a very abundant, fruitful, creative time in my reality, and I feel like in Cassidy's as well. And what does this have to do with time and place? You know, when I left California, gosh, 2020, I guess, yeah, in 2020. God, I can't believe it's only been 2 years. That's nuts. Anyway, I've done a lot of stuff in 2.5 years, you guys. You guys have been with me the whole time. Whew, what a ride. Anyway, when I left California, moved to Colorado, I had all these ideas that started to brew theatrically and creatively. I could see myself sort of running a theater company, directing plays, running a stand-up series, running a storytelling series, doing all these things that I've watched other people do throughout my life and have had most of the things in my life that I've ever created creatively have been through watching somebody do a thing and being like, oh, I have an idea for how I would do that, and then fucking getting busy doing it. So I get to Colorado and I have this impulse for all these series and classes and shows I want to be in and shows I want to direct. And I start to realize, wow, that's called a theater company. So I start to take some action. I start to test the waters. Does the theater there want to do it? Does a different theater nearby want to do it? Who's around that could be a part of it? And as I'm moving forward with taking little steps, making calls, checking in with people, seeing, do you want to run the box off? You know, just feel, who are the teachers? Every corner I traveled around was a dead end. Oh, you can't do that in this town. Oh, there's no actual actors. Oh, there's no teachers. And I would sort of go like, okay, that's just that person's perspective. We're going to persevere anyway. And then I'd persevere a little bit, feel around, and there was just such a dead fish on the sidewalk kind of energy around the whole thing. There was no support for me personally doing that activity in that location at that time. I was very direct and clear and took all these actions and went to the places and talked to the right people. And there was just a kind of like, yeah, we'll get around to that. And it would never get gotten around to, and it would just never happen. And I was meanwhile busy healing my womb and living in the woods and doing the thing I was actually in that part of the world for. Cut to, I moved to New York. I get spiritual guidance to move there. It's a very clear directive to move there from my guides. And I'm like, okay, that's odd. I don't really want to go to New York, but all right, I trust my guidance. I'll go. So I go and I'm busy. I'm doing my own healing work. I'm working with clients. I'm working with students. The healing business is full and busy and da da da. Now my creative energy starts to come out again and I'm going, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And it's all the same energies were alive in me. I want to direct some stuff and I'll teach some stuff. I'm going to make some solo shows and I'm going to have a series of storytelling. You know, I have all the ideas and not just ideas though. This is what I'm getting at. There was real energy, sacral energy as a, you know, manifesting generator that I am. I have a ton of energy, always have. I am on the left angle cross of industry, which means it's very correct for me to be very busy. I'm meant to be a busy lady. Not everybody is, by the way. Please don't take this as like, you should be busy too. It depends on your chart. It depends on your design. Maybe not. There are so many people I've encountered in my life where I realized later, once I understood human design more intimately, like, boy, howdy, I was really trying to make those people be like my ass. And what an ignorant thing to do. You know, people I've dated and even students in the past where it's like, you know, just pull up your bootstraps and make it happen. And that's not for everybody. It's really not. And this is one of the main problems I see with spiritual teachers and even life coaches and all the coaching all over the world is everybody's coaching people to be how they are. And I think if you don't include a real deep dive into who the individual is and how their system operates, whichever way you choose to do that, I choose to do it through human design. If you're not doing that, you know, you're making some assumptions about what that person is capable of. And there are energies at work in this world that make each of us who we are. And we're not all capable of the same shit. I could never be a CPA. I could never be in politics. There's a million things I'm terrible at that I could never, ever do. And I can't do half the things in my own business. I outsource all that shit. I delegate to someone who helps me, Leslie, my assistant in the Philippines. Like, I can't do that shit. So we have to have enough humility to know what we're not good at and be willing to like get it done, but maybe not through you. Maybe it's not your body that has to do the thing that needs to get done. Anyway, how did I get on that tangent? I'm spinning, you guys. I'm riffing. Anyway, I fully lost my train of thought. Oh, right. We were talking about, you know, taking responsibility for understanding who you're coaching or who you're healing or who you're teaching, and that we have to integrate an understanding of who people are. Everybody is different, you know, like as a manifesting generator with a ton of energy and a lot of sacral awareness and I have a defined G center and everything's fucking defined except my head and ajna and my ego. That's a very specific lady who's going to have very specific drives and desires and needs. Anyway, my point is, I had all this sacral energy and this G center stuff. Like, remember, the G center is all about what do I love and what feels like me? What do I identify with? What feels like a Katie Rubin thing that Katie Rubin loves? What am I pulled towards like a magnet from my heart? All of that has been bubbling up for me since Colorado. So I go to New York. Now the G center is pulling me toward the same stuff. I got the sacral energy to create the theater stuff. But in New York's case, it was a very different energy. Like, certain people were saying yes to things and doors were opening and things were starting to happen, but it all felt icky. It felt like I had to make a lot of deals with a lot of devils to make things happen. And I don't mean people were devilish. I just mean nothing felt good, fun, fluid, playful, which is how I want all of this to feel. For me personally, I like things to be, I take things seriously and I like to do an excellent job with the work I create, but it needs to be fun and fulfilling. Otherwise, I got no time for it and definitely no energy for it. So cut to, I moved down here to Northern Florida. What? Weird. And that's a whole story that I've shared on here to certain degrees. But all I can tell you is that here, okay, let me say some of the narrative. So a large part of what brought me here was that back in Colorado, and again, I've shared some of this before, so bear with me if you've heard this a couple times, but I got into astrocartography and understanding about a body in space, a human body on the earth in locations, specific locations. And I found, or this astrocartographer showed me, that there's this latitude line on the planet that is incredibly auspicious for Katie Rubin's body. Based on my birth time and my chart, astrologically, if you look at my progress chart and my birth chart and you compare it to the astrological lines that run across the earth, this city, along with, as it happens, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Austin, Texas, are incredibly auspicious for me, meaning I have 5 exalted planets. And again, I've talked about this, so I know. We could have a drinking game. How many times does Katie mention she has 5 exalted planets in Jacksonville? My point being, that really piqued my interest because my whole life, as I started this whole talking about, I've been so independent, so self-sufficient that I really thought it was victim-y and like me being a crybaby if I were to say something like, this town, whatever town it might be, does not support me. I don't belong here. It's the area. This isn't working because the area doesn't support my energy field. I would have thought that was a victim-y point of view to take or stance to have about reality. Now, let's pause here and just acknowledge something, which is to say, I don't know how far I would have gotten in my own healing journey had I listened to that. Like, had I believed in that idea at the time, like, let's say at the beginning of my career in California, had I believed like, no, it is the place. And had I discovered that I had 5 exalted planets in Northern Florida then and moved to Northern Florida then, like, what would my reality be now? I wouldn't trade it, frankly, because I believed that was victim-y and because I believed that would have been a victim point of view, drove me to face all my stuff. California, for me energetically, its job was to drive me directly into my trauma and to face my stuff, to heal, to integrate, to meet God, to meet spirituality, to bring the light of consciousness into my being. That's what really was going on for me in California. It taught me you know, the energies in California taught me how to honor myself enough to demand a certain amount of money that people pay me for the work I do. California taught me a lot of outside stuff and a lot of inside stuff about how to be a person and how to be strong and vulnerable at the same time, supple and strong all at once, like the bamboo reed. I'm nothing if not a bamboo reed. Anyway, do you call it a reed? A bamboo reed? Anyway, so what am I saying about the victim thing? It's twofold, right? It's complex because it's very judgy and critical and harsh of me to take the point of view that a location isn't the problem. You're the problem, right? That's a little fucking harsh. But also, I'm glad I took that point of view because it forced me inward to do my own work. However, what I've discovered now is that it's both. Like most things in life, it's both. Almost every single thing in my, I actually can't think of a single thing where this isn't true. Anywhere I've ever created any kind of binary, it's this or that. It's good or it's bad. That's right. No, it's wrong. I'm wrong. I'm right. I'm good. I'm bad. This place is good, bad. Any binaries I've created through judgment, which remember, judgment creates binaries. That's how we have that, has wound up like the teaching I've gotten from my life has been, no, honey, it's a little bit of both, which is to say, having done all this healing work, I can look back at my life and go, my God, look at the magic and the amazing synchronistic wizardry that got me to the moment I'm in now, where I'm getting to enjoy the benefits of having done all this inner work, and I'm in a location physically on the earth that supports my being. What? Like, what a magical way things laid out in order just for me to get exactly what I needed and to have the fulfillment I've been in search of my whole life. My point being, I don't think I could have received all the magic and wonder. In fact, I know I couldn't have received how much support there is for me here in this five planet exalted place on the earth back in the day before I had done all this healing work. I couldn't have been, I just would have been in so much judgment of this part of the world. I would have been like, this place is lame and it's not one of the cool cities and nobody lives. What's the... Now, as a broken open, humbled older lady, middle-aged lady, I mean, I walk around this place grateful all day, every day, because I can feel all through the middle of my body and through the center of my being and my soul and my spirit, how supportive and nurturing this area is for me and of me. People are just saying, yes, the doors are flying open. It all feels fun and free and fluid. And remember, I said in New York, it felt like, okay, doors are opening and doesn't feel fun though. And I, side note, hated the energy in New York. This is, by the way, not me saying the energy in New York is bad or other people shouldn't like New York. New York is perfect for some people. Rami being one of them. Rami is like thriving in New York and fucking yes, please, bitch, take over. And they are. Watch out. Just watch your television. Just watch your television. Soon it's just going to be Rami TV on every channel. Anyway, what I'm saying is for me, because time and place are real influences over our energy fields, and I finally am humble enough to own that and receive the truth of that. It was such a static in my field. The energy of New York felt literally like television static running through my midline. It was a nightmare. If I felt physically bad every day. Ugh, I was there to get a bunch of healing work that's a whole other topic, and I've probably already talked it to death on here. But point being, when I left there, and so being here now, this place feels like the most grounded, integrated, nurturing energy through my midline. I feel so in my body here. My human design is so obvious to me here. I know exactly what sacral energy is now from being here. I know what the G center feels like. I know what when my unconscious power energy is activated. I know when what the open head and open ajna are and how to use them to my advantage. I can feel, I feel my emotional wave coming up, coming down, coming up, coming down. You guys, each gate, each channel, I'm so aware of it here because of all the 20 years of getting attuned to myself through the energy work and because of the place and the time. So the time has to do with being ready at the right time for the thing that is right for me. And the place has to do with the place. Here I am in the right time at the right place, in the right place at the right time. So I guess there's two lessons in here I want to point to. One is, maybe three. One is, get an astrocartography reading. Like, if you're looking at where should I be on the earth? Like, is this where I'm staying? Is this right for me? I really can't recommend it highly enough. Boy, howdy. And work with somebody solid. I can actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a plug for this particular woman I worked with because, she knew her stuff and she changed my life. I had one session with her. I'm just pulling it up right now. I'm going to give you guys her info. Astrocartography. Her name is Elizabeth Smith. So it's ElizabethSmithAstro.com. Tell her Katie Rubin sent you, please. ElizabethSmithAstro.com. Lesson number one. I can't recommend it highly enough. If you're really not sure where to be, frickin' have a session with that lady. Number two, everything is true. And its opposite. This is a Buddhist saying that I love a lot. Everything is true and its opposite. So it's true that we can't blame our life problems on location, but also location helps a lot with our life problems. Another example is we can't be victims. We have to be empowered, but we can't be so empowered that we're not vulnerable enough and humble enough to receive a difficult truth. You know, in my case, the difficult truth was location does fucking matter. It matters a lot, you arrogant, walled up lady. And thing number three or four that to take from this is just presence and always living in the energy of question. In other words, it took a lot of presence of mind for me to like stay on the path of healing my stuff for 20, 25 years. That's a lot of presence. You got to be present to what's going on with yourself to know that you got some shit to heal. Humility. You got to be humble enough to go like, I am not well. And action. You got to be willing to take a bunch of action to get well. You know, it takes presence or awareness, humility to go like, it's not going well. And action to handle it. So yeah. And I guess one more little lesson I would say to take, if we can take anything from this, I would hope we could take, you are a unique individual made up in specific and unique ways, and you are not meant to be me, and I am not meant to be you. Truly, you're here for a very specific reason, and it may not be exactly the one you think, but it may be exactly the one you think. That's another one, by the way. Everything is true, and it's opposite. For a long time, because I was in the 12-step rooms, they talk a lot in 12-step recovery about, like, my best thinking got me here. To the 12 steps. My best thinking got me to addiction recovery. So I can't trust my thinking. That shit fucked me up for a while. There's some truth in it, in that like my best thinking says eat cake for every meal. Okay, let's not do that. But there's also non-truth in it, because my best thinking or my best knowing, my best body energetic awareness is like, make fucking theater, but wait until you're in the right place to do it. So how do we know when the thinking we're listening to is for us or not for us? I have to come back to human design and say when it's in the body, or I should say when it's correct for your strategy and authority based on your design. So when I look back at all of this in my own little narrative here, use me as an example, right? This isn't just about me talking about myself. I had the strategy and authority saying yes, and the energy for the stuff and the love of the stuff and the identification of the stuff all the way back in Colorado, but the time and place were not correct. So are you in the right place for yourself? Is now the right time? Are you aware of what's going on with yourself? Are you humble enough to make some changes? Are you willing to take action to make those changes? And what do you have actual, authentic, true energy to accomplish? These are all questions we have to be vulnerably living into all the time in order to be awake in our bodies and our lives. How do we wind up magically in places that serve us? We have to be awake enough to be asking all of these questions all the time. You don't get to like go to sleep on your life and then not get the things you want and then be mad about it. If you're frustrated in your life with how things are going, that means you need to wake up in a certain area. You can do so lovingly with yourself, kindly, but it's face what you need to face, but face it kindly. Say what you mean, but don't say it mean. In other words, any area of your life where things are not working, you've probably gone to sleep on a topic. I can tell you this extra 15 pounds I carry on my body that I know I just don't fucking need. I'm fully asleep in that area. I'm not willing. I'm aware of it, but I'm not willing to be humble enough to take the action I need to take to change it. That's just the fucking truth. And the fact that I can own that, that's an important thing to own, because that's what we call step zero in the 12 steps. It's the step right before step one where you go, I'm fucked here and I can't do this on my own. And I need a higher power to help me do it. And in my case, the higher power is going to be made up of a food plan and some accountability and some people to help me. I'm not going to ever be able to drop these pounds on my own, ever. I have enough humility to say that. But I'm just not in a place where I'm willing to not have a fucking large fries on the way home from an improv show at midnight, which as I'm eating them, I'm like, this is not a conscious choice. So we have to be merciful with ourselves as we're moving forward on the path. I don't fucking binge eat 6,000 calorie binges like I used to. I have no part of me that wants to do that. I have healed the trauma that created the need for that. Hella fucking luya. So from my point of view, some fucking fries and 15 extra pounds, that's fine, bitches. I'm happy with it. It's fine. It's not the most awake version of me I could be, but I'm pretty goddamn awake. So I'm okay with it for today. At some point though, you'll hear me coming on here being like, yeah, I had my fucking protein shake and I drank my water. No, I'm not there. Or maybe I won't. Maybe I'll realize at some point that the most awake thing I could do is exactly what I'm doing now. And you know what's funny? As I say that, psychically, I get a no. Consciousness is like, no, honey, that's a lie. Okay, great. So let's move into pulling three cards for you guys from these two decks. And we're going to wrap it up with that. I'm excited about three card spreads for you. Three card spreads. I'm also just looking real quick, you guys, because there's another fucking hurricane. Let's see. There's a hurricane. Okay, Mexico City. God damn it. Let's send some prayer and love and light to the northern tip of South America, along with Mexico and Mexico City. They're getting let's see what category this is. Category one. Okay. I'm not too mad at that. Category one. It's not a good day. It's a rough week, but it's not a fucking category four and five like goddamn Ian was, which, by the way, if you haven't take a gander at my Facebook wall today, or at some point, or just Google this on YouTube. There's a video that shows the video is called Time Lapse of Fort Myers Beach during Ian. Get ready to be floored. Floored. There's a camera up in Fort Myers. It's unbelievable what Ian did. It was a really bad hurricane that fucked some people up in a big way. All right, so let's drop it to your records. We may move a little bit quickly through this, so bear with me. So we're going to take a few breaths into our low bellies, getting connected to the pelvic floor. Breathing low and slow in the body. Imagining that from the belly button to the base of the spine, inside your body is like a balloon that fills with air each time you inhale and collapses and releases air each time you exhale. Slowly inhaling, feel and see and watch that balloon fill with air, and slowly exhaling, allow that balloon to collapse, become small, become flaccid, become loose, become empty. And as you continue to breathe low and slow in your body in that way, let's feel our feet flat on the ground. And let's start to see those little spinning foot chakras start to spin open and spin wide, like little vortexes of light, little hurricanes, metaphoric hurricanes, spinning open and spinning wide at the bottom center of each foot. And let's see them spin so wide and so open that eventually the entire surface area of the bottom of each foot just becomes an open plane of energy. Like an open window that allows the earth to commune with your body. opening the foot chakras, we'll just acknowledge and agree and allow. Opening the foot chakras allows the aura of the earth, which, as you can imagine, is pretty big and pretty wide and extends far off the edges of the planet. It allows the aura to merge of the earth to merge into your aura and your body. If you imagine yourself as a satellite up in space looking down at Earth, understanding how big the planet is, think about how small your little tiny body is sitting on top of it. Now imagine the aura of the Earth from your perspective in space extending out many, 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 many hundreds of maybe thousands of miles beyond the Earth's edges. When you open your foot chakras, that aura just blasts right through you. And as we do this meditation, you get the opportunity to become conscious of that fact. So as we receive the energy of the Earth through our feet, up into our bodies, and into our auric fields, we're going to simultaneously visualize, see, imagine, and allow 500 tree roots of light extending through the open window of each foot. 500 tree roots of light extend through the left foot down into the earth hundreds of miles. 500 tree roots of light extend through the open window of the right foot hundreds of miles down into the earth, so that eventually we have 1,000 tree roots of light anchored down and in and down and in and down and into the earth, connecting your light body to the light body of the planet. And as those two light bodies merge, become one connected unit, we're going to visualize a nice wide grounding cord extending from the base of our spines, like a tunnel, like a tube, like a root, 1.5 feet wide at least, shooting from the base of your spine down to the center of the planet. And as that cord or that root or that tunnel or that tube hits the center of the earth instantaneously, because it's made of light, we watch as it receives a river of light given to us by the earth, flowing up through that grounding cord into the base of your spine, flooding forward into each of your hip sockets, flooding down into your quads, glutes, hamstrings, knees, calves, shins, ankles, and feet, and rushing down into those 1,000 tree roots of light we anchored moments ago. And as we sit with and feel into this tripod grounding structure of light, we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me, please, to know everyone who listens to the podcast in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see everyone who listens to this podcast, all the answers, through the eyes of the Lords of the Records. And enable me, please, to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of everybody who listens to the podcast have for everybody who listens to the podcast. And I'll go quiet for just a second here. And as we deepen into the Akashic Records of this group of people who show up loyally to listen to us say silly words and deep words, Allah, as we deepen into the Akashic Records of that group of people, I'm asking the Lords, Masters, and Teachers of the Akashic Records of our listeners, the All the Answers podcast listeners, the record keepers of that group to clear, release, uncreate, and destroy anything and everything in my field or theirs that would stand in the way of my receiving very clear, useful, spiritual, practical guidance for their lives through these 2 3-card spreads I'm going to pull now. So the question we're asking is, what does this group need to know, hear, receive about their current lives, spiritually and otherwise? What spiritual information is necessary for them to have? What practical information is necessary for them to have? What advice do they need? What guidance do they need? And as you can probably hear, I'm shuffling the deck. Okay. All right. We have our first interesting. Okay. Spread here from the Enchanted Oracle cards, the Colette Baron Reid deck. Okay. So in our recent past, for everybody listening, we have the Wizard of Awareness card. It's card number 3. So this is something that's been up in your recent past somewhere in your life. Your soul knows best. Be still and observe. Mindfulness is about being observant, and which is interesting, we've been talking about that all day here, and remaining neutral about what goes on in the world around you. This applies to the environment within you too. If you struggle inside yourself, stepping into an observer position gives you a new powerful perspective that neutralizes any discomfort or overexcitement. You have the capacity to see things clearly now, unencumbered by opinion or desire. Wearing the world as a loose garment requires you to adopt a sense that nothing that happens to you is personal. People come and go, experiences evolve from one state to another, in a continual shifting and change, no matter how much you want things to stay the same. The Wizard of Awareness asks you to give up your need to define or limit what you're experiencing now. It's all good. Let it be and watch the miracle unfold without any direct influence from you. And this is the recent past. Something I get about this for you guys is this has to do with this whole past 3 years of our lives as human beings on Earth. All the chaos, all the disruption, all the stopping and starting of things, all the moving, the movement, all the change, all the stopping, all the pausing, you know, we were meant to go through this upheaval. The question is not about will there be upheavals in life. The question is, how will you handle it? What will be your relationship to an upheaval? So, you know, in this case, this card talks about stepping into an observer position, wearing the world as a loose garment, adopting a sense that nothing that happens to you is personal. People come and go, experiences evolve from one state to another in a continual shifting and changing. Give up your need to define or limit what you're experiencing now. I see this with my students too. They go, am I okay? Is this okay? I'm scared. I'm angry. It shouldn't be so hard. I shouldn't feel like this. I shouldn't feel like that. Should I feel like this? Should I feel like that? More useful of a point of view to take would be to say, okay, I did a bunch of healing work and now I feel like this. I'm going to take care of myself while I feel like this. All right. A day went by. Now I feel differently. I'm going to take care of myself based on how I feel now. Rather than, should I feel this way? Is this okay? I can't feel this way. I'm afraid to feel this way. All of which comes from being caught by the emotional wave. It's one thing to have an emotional wave. It's another thing to believe in every word that it says. The emotional wave does not have truth all along it. It's true in the short term that you're feeling what you're feeling, but it's not the ultimate truth of what you're going to want to choose by the time the emotional wave passes. So that's how we get more comfortable with being emotional beings, is taking a bit of an observer position on everything that's happening. So in the recent past, there we have the Wizard of Awareness. In the present moment, we have the Dry Desert card coming up for you guys. The Dry Desert. This is an interesting one because it's sort of different from what it seems like when you first read it. Dig deep for inspiration and truth. Now is the time to become resilient and adaptable. Is your life presenting you with opportunities that seem to yield nothing? Have your ideas dried up? Does it feel like you're on an endless journey through a dry, hot, lifeless desert? That's harsh. This card reminds you that there are times when you're meant to become resilient as you journey through harsher circumstances. You're being required to conserve your energy until, after consistent effort, you reach the oasis you're searching for. Consider the creatures that live in these conditions. They have adapted to thrive in spite of the outer environment. In a desert, water, essential for life, can be found deep underground. Go deep within yourself now. Find your truth there. Let spirit sustain you while you locate the real source. Whatever it is you're asking about will not be found in the conditions you're in until you move past the surface of things and choose to do the real work and discover the answers deep within you. Let's read that again. Whatever it is you're asking about, work, family, relationships, money, body, any of it, will not be found in the conditions you're in until you move past the surface of things and choose to do the real work and discover the answers deep within you. This may not seem like the most productive time, but looks are deceiving. This is a most important place to find what's truly right for you. So the dry desert can seem like a card that's saying you're just parched and nothing's happening and you're fucked, but it's not. It's saying things aren't moving forward in the way you might like in certain areas of your life because you're being asked to go deep underground and become resilient. You're being asked to look past the surface of things. We often look to the solutions in our lives. We think the solutions to our inner problems live on the outside. We think, I'll feel more at peace once I have XYZ on the outer reality. The card is suggesting, nope, now is the time to go inner, inside. What needs to be addressed internally? Can you become resilient in facing it? And the outcome card is the heal the ouch card. It's a very sweet looking card. What animal is that that has the, what is that? The possum? It's an ant. What's the animal that the rodent, but it's big and it has like a mask over its eyes, a black mask. I have no idea what animal that is, but he's wearing a little nurse's hat and he's petting a fox who has a little like cold pack on his head. Wow, so cute. The sweet little, fuck, what is that? Raccoon. It's a raccoon. Little raccoon with a nurse hat petting a little sick fox. Very sweet. Heal the ouch. Okay, this is the outcome card. This is what we're heading toward in your reality right now. Forgiveness is the healer of the soul. This is a time for great soothing of the heart, body, soul, and mind, as this card indicates that healing will be prevalent in your life now. If you feel drawn to study the healing arts, you'll be successful in developing your natural capacity to restore others to wellness. However, the message may be that you're being called to change your behaviors in order to heal the earth. Perhaps you'll switch to a cruelty-free diet, eating less meat, or perhaps you'll pay more attention to how much water or electricity you use. You're asked to be conscious of your footprint on the sacred earth and all of life and to commit to the healing path. Commit to the healing path. The heal the ouch card may also be an indicator of old wounds and broken bonds being mended. Reconciliations are possible now. Let bygones be bygones. What a sweet and delightful card. The heal the ouch card may also be an indicator of old wounds and broken bonds being mended. Reconciliations are possible now. Let bygones be bygones. So the heal the ouch card is, it's kind of about three things. It's about, this is a time of healing, and or you're being pulled toward the healing arts and you're being encouraged to develop your natural capacity to restore yourself and others to wellness. And it's also a card about healing the earth, eating cruelty-free, less meat, paying more attention to water, electricity. And lastly, it's about forgiveness and old wounds and broken bonds being mended. Reconciliations are possible. Let bygones be bygones. So, you know, this three card spread makes a lot of sense to me. It's a very cohesive one. It's very logical. It has a nice like order and flow that makes a ton of sense. You've been being in the recent past called into wearing the world like a loose garment, the wizard of awareness. The present moment is a dry desert where in the outer, you might not be seeing as much as you want to see, but on the inner, there's a lot possible, and the outcome is healing. That seems pretty logical, doesn't it? Okay, we're going to move into this second deck now. Part of why I wanted to do both decks for you guys is that this deck is so, I'm sure I've shared some of this with you guys before, but this deck is so different and so, what word do I want to use? Integrated and grounded. It's called the Akashic Tarot, as I said, Sharon Ann Klinger and Sandra Ann Taylor. Let's just see what this deck has to say. I also find that this deck can be very specific, very detailed and specific. So we're asking the Akashic Record Keepers and the Divine Light itself for a three-card spread for everyone who listens to All the Answers podcast. We love some specific guidance and direction for what's been happening, what is happening, and what's coming around the corner for everybody in the group of wonderful humans who listen to the All the Answers podcast. And this is a nice, big, juicy, thick deck. It's very full of cards. So many cards. It's got like, I don't know, a quarter more cards than that previous deck. So it's like, takes a minute to deal with this deck. It's hefty, it's dense. It has tons of energy, tons of information, tons of specificity. I'm just tuning into the group of you and the frequency of you. It's just taking a while for me to get a yes. I haven't gotten a yes yet. Okay. Hold on. Is this a reading for me? No. Okay, because I've seen a few of these cards lately. Is this a reading for the people who listen? Okay. This is for the audience of All the Answers. Okay, that's a big yes. All right. We've got a three-card spread here from the Akashic Tarot. In the recent past, we have the King of Forces card. And I'll describe for you what's on this card. It's a man, and he's standing next to a creek or a river. To his left is a wolf. To his left is a bunny. And to the man's right is a big, like, deer animal type thing. Lots of trees. There's a beautiful aurora borealis in the sky behind him. So let's see what the King of Forces card is about. This is your recent past. The King of Forces. Not horses. Forces. A man standing by a stream is surrounded by different animals of the woods. The power of nature is all around him. In the earth below his feet, the water running by, and the star-filled nebula in the sky above. Yet he is a force himself, exerting calming influences on the wolf and the rabbit, which are natural enemies. Upright, this card indicates the presence of a man who has a powerful and positive energy. He comes with good intentions. Gentleness and honesty resonate from him. If you don't know this man yet, his energy will be coming into your life soon. He could bring support for a special project, a work issue, or just your life in general. He may also be a possible love interest. So in order to be open to receiving a man of honor, make sure you engage in honoring and being tender toward yourself, which is what we've been talking about today. For you or a man around you, there could be a position coming in any of the careers natural to the King of Forces, such as electronics, astronomy, physics, geology, alternative fuel, and any of the earth sciences, and new industries in environmental care. Any activity connecting with earth energy and nature are beneficial to you at this time. Whether you are male or female, this also reveals an important side of yourself. Feel the balance and beauty of nature and know the powerful forces always moving within and around you. The King of Forces. A man for you or a man around you, there could be a position coming in any of the careers natural to the King of Forces, electronics, astronomy, physics, geology, alternative fuel, earth sciences, new industries and environmental care. He could bring support for a special project, a work issue, or just your life in general. He may also be a possible love interest. So in order to be open to receiving a man of honor, make sure you engage in honoring and being tender toward yourself. I love everything about it. Oh my God, I love it. All right, the present moment card is the Will, Wisdom, and Mind card. I really like this card. Here's what it says. A gold crown of power and authority rests above a Celtic Trinity knot. On either side of the Celtic knot are the alchemical symbols for fire and water. Below is the ancient three-legged symbol of the coat of arms from the Isle of Man. This card brings with it a time of enormous power, balance, and expression. The first three rays, or the energies of the divine, move within you equally, power and will, love and wisdom, intellect and mind. You are working intimately, even if you're not conscious of it, with the ascended masters who are linked to these energies. With the participation of the masters, you can raise your focus to a higher power and purpose. You can combine the fire of creativity with the water of receptivity in order to make your contribution to the world. With the gold crown raised high, you're likely to find yourself in a significant position of authority and influence at this time. It is likely to be a phase of great activity, but you can handle it. With these powers in play, you're able to discipline yourself to bring together the meditation, creativity, rest, and action required. Take advantage of this time to use these powers well. They are nothing less than the divine forces moving through you so that you can manifest their power in the world. I'm just floored by that card. It really resonates in my life. And I keep asking inside, like, are you guys sure this isn't just a three-card spread for me? Because this is really resonating for me. So is this for them and for me? Okay, that reads. Because boy, this one is landing. Okay, and then the King of Roses. We've actually had this card before when I've done a three-card spread with this deck. I can't remember if it was in my weekly three-card spreads online. Which, by the way, if you're not seeing those, join my newsletter or watch the three-card spreads I post on my Facebook page, Katie Rubin. The King of Forces. No, wait, we already read that. The King of Roses. The outcome to all of this is the King of Roses. This card shows a man holding two roses, a red and a white, demonstrating a balance of passion and purity. Oh, I just had a piece of awareness come through. This is so interesting. Okay, so this deck, this three-card spread is for some of you listening. And the first one is for others of you listening. Wow, that's cool. So, you know, you'll know which of the three-card spreads resonates for you because you'll be like, oh shit, they're talking to me. That sounds like my life right now. So we want to have enough humility to really hear which one resonates. Like, okay, that feels true. It's usually the kind of thing where you're like, I don't want them to know that much about me. How do they know? That's when you know it's yours. Okay. That is so interesting. Okay. This card shows a man holding two roses, a red and white, demonstrating a balance of passion and purity. At his feet are the yellow roses of healing and creativity. This is the King of Love. Oh my God, my heart is like lit up right now. A man who is balanced and well-rounded. Oh my. When he appears upright in your spread, it indicates that a potential union could be at hand, either in friendship, business, or even romance. My goodness. Whether this is a new relationship or the blossoming of an old one, this man brings tender-hearted and thoughtful support. He is also someone who could be helpful in your personal life, especially where home or family issues are concerned. Whether the King of Roses is you or another man, the role of husband or father is now opening to create a happy home and family. This card also lets you know that you are ready to stand up for yourself and take loving but considered action on your own behalf. It's a time of increasing love and compassion, which always start within. Shibbity pow. This is the King of Love, a man who's balanced and well-rounded. When he appears, it indicates a potential union, friendship, business, or even romance. Whether it's a new relationship or a blossoming of an old one, he brings a tender-hearted and thoughtful support. Someone could be helpful in your personal life, home and family issues, where home and family issues are concerned. Whether it's you or another man, the role of husband or father is now opening to create a happy home and family. This card lets you know you're ready to stand up for yourself and take loving, considered action. My God. So in this spread, we have like, you've met the King of Forces, not horses. You have all this power, will, wisdom, and mind blended together in a perfectly balanced way. And now in comes into your life this King of Roses, this man who's like got all the fatherly, husbandly vibes. That doesn't sound like the worst. That sounds pretty great. That one, I'm a little bit taken, you guys. That one really, I'm tripped out because here's the truth. A few days ago, I pulled this exact three-card spread. You heard how long I just shuffled right there. Here I am with these three cards I pulled for myself a few days ago. I'm tripped out, you guys. You and I are on a vibe. Some of you and I on this vibe. Some of you on this other vibe. All is well. Remember, wherever we are in the journey of consciousness and the journey of healing, the journey of light and love, the best, wisest move we can each take at any given time is to just really be where we are. Even if you're not in the exciting, fun phase of anything, if you try to push yourself into being where you're not, you're missing out on the dry desert depth diving healing underground water finding work that will later bring you to the will, wisdom, and mind blended into the King of Roses land. We can't actually be who we're meant to be until we go through the being who we are now. So there is no point in fighting your present moment. With that, I'm going to go ahead and close your records here. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return everybody who listens to our podcast, All the Answers, energy to themselves now, please. I ask that you return them all to their complete human wholeness now, please. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of everybody who listens to All the Answers podcast are now closed. Amen. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of everybody who listens to All the Answers podcast are now closed. Amen. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of everybody who listens to All the Answers podcast are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad abduhu rasulullah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Whew. Well, it's been a real treat to be with you guys in this way this week. Thank you so much for being here. I feel like I get to have my full voice and full expression when I do these alone. And I never know what I'm going to say, but I always end up having like way more to say than I think I'm going to have. So it's a pleasure and a delight. Of course, it's a blast to always be here with Cassidy, but it's also fun to have a moment of like, hey, I say words by myself. Anyway, we all over here at All the Answers love you guys so much. And thank you for listening. Let's see, couple offerings I have for you. Star Beings class started, but you could join a week late. We meet Tuesdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You could join us next week. You get a free private session with me built into the 5-week course. We do a lot of powerful shit in there. But starting up anew that's totally fresh that you're not late to is my OMA class, omapittsburgh.org. That's O-M-A pittsburgh.org. And then search for the class called Highest Level Healing and Human Design. So you'll get a private human design reading with that class and 5 weeks of energy healing in a big group of people from all over the country who are also there for the energy work and there for the transformation. So come join us for that. That'll be Wednesday nights starting October 26th. I hope you guys are well. Take care of you. Do your work, but be nice to yourself while you do it. Okay, bye. What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers. Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you. Obviously, Desmond, we may want to cut some of this silence.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.